The Hasid, his relationship to the world, making the mundane holy, making the secular holy, everything he touches, everything he eats, everything he does, has a theological, a holy significance. Clearly, in this relationship, in this community, it was possible, therefore, to recover what had been lost by cerebral Judaism, by the intellectual systems that had shaped and formed Judaism and destroyed, removed its vitality. Hasidism, therefore, for Buber, was a way of returning to Judaism. Buber published a series of books with Hasidic stories in them. And these stories, again, were anecdotes trying to convey something about the human condition, about the rabbi and his following, about stories, about life itself. And through these stories, Buber helped to convey, in German, for a German readership, the sense of vitality and authenticity that makes up Judaism. Buber, of course, never became a Hasidic Jew, and we will deal with the question of his relationship to Jewish law in our next lecture. But nevertheless, he was fascinated by the mystical aspect, by the relationship which he found to be I-Thou. Later on, Gershon Scholem, the great scholar of Jewish mysticism who we have also mentioned, criticized Buber's analysis of Hasidism as being not historically accurate. The Hasid is not exactly doing the I-Thou relationship that Buber described to him. But perhaps that argument is academic and therefore irrelevant. Buber was a theologian, not an historian. And what he was trying to do was to use that Hasidic past as a means of conveying something about the present condition of human beings, and specifically Jews. And I finally want to speak about one other aspect of Buber's Jewish identity, which is both fascinating and even relevant at the same time, also problematic, at least for some. And that is his relationship to Zionism. We have already read at least part of the great debate between Hermann Cohn and Martin Buber when I discussed Hermann Cohn. And we saw that Hermann Cohn justified the notion of the Messianic era and the mission of Israel, that Jews should not go live in Israel, but that they should bring about their social vision through as D-E-W, sort of impacting upon watering the entire world with its moral presence. For Buber, the only way the Messianic era could be realized was through the ideal of Zionism. Buber picks up in the 30s and goes to settle at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, where he becomes, of course, a professor in the land of Israel. And there he becomes a professor who clearly is imbued with the Zionist spirit. But Zionism for Buber means something very unique and special. Buber defines Zionism as Hebrew humanism, reviving again, and notice how consistent he is, the covenantal, dialogical relationship between God and the nation. Buber was against, and he wrote profoundly on this subject, against the narrow, egotistical nationalism espoused by some. He took on David Ben-Gurion and all of the political Zionists in arguing that Israel must be more than simply a Jewish state. It could not be, as Jacob Klatskin, as we saw in a previous lecture, had argued, simply a normal nation. But rather, Israel had to be a laboratory of dialogical relationships between Jews and Jews, and more difficult, between Jews and Arabs. For him, the kibbutz, this remarkable experiment of socialist farming, was a model of the kind of relationships that could emerge. Here in Israel, Zionism would emerge as a beacon to the world, demonstrating how Jews fulfill the notion of the I-Thou relationship. And here is where Buber got himself into trouble, at least with avid Zionists, in that he favored a binational state, where Arabs and Jews would live side by side. And clearly this made him unpopular politically. In the world that we live in now, without commenting at all about politics, clearly Buber's ideas need to be read. Thus, Buber's Zionism and Buber's Hasidism and Buber's biblical exegesis all suggest a strong commitment to the Jewish community and make him a Jewish thinker. One could argue that clearly there are problems. Is the I-Thou relationship synonymous with Jewish obligation? How does Buber relate to the notion of Jewish tradition as a whole? But these are questions that still do not allow us to, in any sense, dislodge the notion of Buber's commitment to Judaism. But nevertheless, the argument about his issue of law, of ceremony, of ritual remains a question. And to that we will devote the next lecture.